W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Days of rain are making South Florida a soggy mess.
Sheets of torrential rain flooding roads, stranding vehicles, inundating the Sunshine State. A flash flood emergency north of Miami. The National Weather Service warning of life-threatening conditions. 4 to 6 inches of rain in an hour in spots.
ABC's Victor Akendo in Miami. The Justice Department's indicating it has no plans to prosecute Attorney General Merrick Garland, even though the House voted today to hold him in contempt of Congress. President Biden is in Italy for the G7 summit tomorrow. He's expected to announce a $50 billion loan for Ukraine, funded by the profits of frozen Russian assets. Consumer prices rose 0.2% from April to May. It was the smallest monthly increase since October. The Federal Reserve says it's leaving a key interest rate unchanged for now, but indicates it could cut interest rates later this year. This is ABC News. Los Angeles Clipper and NBA Hall of Famer Jerry West has died. This morning on ESPN, Get Up host Mike Greenberg reflected on West's massive career and legacy.
Every single time you see the NBA logo, that is a silhouette of Jerry West. He was one of the great players of all time, scoring points in enormous numbers at a time where there were no three-point shots in basketball, leading the Lakers to 9 NBA finals in his 13 seasons, winning just once. But interestingly, to this day, still the only person ever to be named the MVP of a finals that his team lost.
West was 86 years old. Police in Northern Illinois are investigating a mass shooting inside a gated community near the town of Dixon, where 3 sheriff's deputies were shot responding to a call inside one of the homes. The suspect was also wounded in the exchange. All 4 were reported to be in good condition. Delegates of the Southern Baptist Convention voted against supporting the use of IVF. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellum fell in love in the 1930s. But they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties. The best known may be Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former President Donald Trump and current First Lady Jill Biden are both coming to Wisconsin. Jill Biden will be in Green Bay on Thursday to meet with local seniors and launch a new initiative, Seniors for Biden-Harris. Trump will be in Racine a few days later. Our battleground state has been a popular destination for both Biden and Trump in 2024, who will fight to win key points here in Wisconsin in November. Wisconsin ranks number 11 in the nation for kids' well-being. That's according to the annual Annie E. Casey Foundation Kids Count data book. Wisconsin's child poverty rate is down, but Emily Miota of Kids Forward says disparities persist.
Wisconsin remains the worst state in the nation for Black children and families.
Black children in Wisconsin are 29 times more likely to live in high-poverty areas, and they're not doing well on reading tests. Absenteeism is a problem, too. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
A close call for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers held on to beat the Blue Jays. Toronto had held Milwaukee scoreless until the sixth. Then the Blue Jays loaded the bases with no outs, scored 3 runs until closer Trevor McGill came in to shut them down in the top of the ninth. Val Guerrero at bat. Jeff Levering with the call on Bally Sports.
Fly ball center field. Perkins back. He is there. McGill, the fireman the Brewers needed on on this Wednesday afternoon, and they hang on to a 5-4 win.
So the Crew wins the series 2-1. Up next, they host the Reds Friday night. NFL here at the Packers minicamp. I asked linebacker Preston Smith if the new defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, lives up to his reputation as being a detail-oriented coach.
Yes, this is definitely fine detailing. Everybody has a role and everybody has a responsibility. Nobody gets a pass in no way or shape or form. I mean, you kind of know the responsibility in the run game and the pass for everybody.
That's Preston Smith with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some could be strong with lows in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, some pop-up storms around, and warm with highs in the mid-80s. Beautiful Friday, lots of sun, upper 70s. Right now it's 80.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocate Radio Show. Donald Trump meets with Republican leaders. Thank you, sir. May I have another? Tune in each day, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Mike Siegel coming up at 8:35. We'll talk about our top five 80s movies, and that is tonight's question. So get in on the fun, folks. It is, what is your favorite 80s movie? And I will read your texts shortly after we finish our discussion with Chris Foran. We've got some great, great entries. So let us know what your favorite 80s movie is tonight. And my guest right now from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, he is their outstanding entertainment reporter, Chris Foran, is here with us on Nightlight. Chris, you and I have seen a lot of the same films regarding summer blockbusters. Do you have a favorite so far?
In theaters?
Yeah.
It's funny. I've seen a bunch of older movies in theaters too. I went to see they reissued Run Lola Run from the 90s.
The other day. No way.
Incredibly great movie. They just restored it, 25th anniversary
thing. Where was that showing in Milwaukee?
It was showing. It's been showing nationwide. They just did it probably for 1 week, but theaters are finding that not just people who remember the movies, but younger audiences are going as well.
I love that in
Milwaukee we have this great movie palace, the Oriental Theater, and they've been showing like Hitchcock movies on Wednesdays. Tonight they're showing North by Northwest, and they showed
a
couple weeks ago I saw The Lady Vanishes from the 30s. Great, one of my favorite movies. So they've shown there, but other places are showing them too. But I think one of the best movies I've seen so far this summer was one I did not see in theaters. I saw it on streaming, which I wasn't expecting. It was Hitman.
Yeah. We were talking about that last night. It's great. I loved it. And
yeah, and it was supposed to be in theaters, but because it doesn't feel like the way we decide movies are, the studio panicked and sold it to Netflix, and it's fantastic.
It's, it's reviewing well. It's great. I think fans like it. I was talking about this last night, Chris. Glenn Powell, this guy has just come out of nowhere. And every once in a while this happens. He co-wrote the script. Yep. He co-produced it with Richard Linklater, who's one of my favorite directors. Where did this guy come from? Why is he all of a sudden not just an actor?
I remember this right. He's from California, but he moved to Austin. And there's a big filmmaking community in Austin. That's where the director of Hitman, Richard Linklater, is there. He's on the University of Texas faculty. Richard Rodriguez is there. They have the South by Southwest Festival there. Mm-hmm. He's the Hangman guy and the Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
He's the love interest in Anyone But You, which is a totally unexpected, tremendous
success.
Romantic comedy that, despite never being number one at the box office, is one of the top grossing movies of the last 6 months.
Crazy.
He's in this, I guess they would call it in Hollywood a reimagining. It's not a sequel to Twister, but it's called Twisters. It's coming out this summer.
Right.
It looks good. It'll, you know, I finally watched the first Twister movie. I was surprised at how good that was, but he's smart. He's very charismatic on screen. And he makes good choices. And there's quite a group of people that his co-star in Anyone But You, Sydney Sweeney, is like that. She makes really smart choices, and that makes all the difference.
That's so funny you say that, because I truly believe, you know, I think when you're an actor, you're just happy to get a part. You're happy to work. Sure. And I know people who have opened movies. It's been their first big opportunity, and they just didn't pick the right project. But the successful people, Tom Hanks, Harrison Ford, Tom Cruise, those guys and girls too, whether it's, you know, Sydney Sweeney or whoever, they're so smart about picking their projects. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest part of their longevity. Like, there's a lot of great actors, but how many of them truly make those right choices? That's a great point about Glenn Powell. I loved Hitman too. I really liked Furiosa. I didn't think it was... A friend of mine recently said it wasn't the spectacle that Mad Max Fury Road was, and I would agree with that, but I think it was every bit as good as a movie.
You know, I when Fury Road came out, people I knew who were very, especially people who were visually oriented, were, this is the best movie ever made. They were, you know, there's a group of people who think this is the best thing they've ever seen. And it just didn't really hit me that way. But I watched it again before I went to see Furiosa, and one thing really was remarkable to me is how visually intense and narratively intense Fury Road is. And Furiosa is not that way, and not necessarily bad. It's just different. It's a different kind of pacing. And it's interesting to me is that in Fury Road, even though it's Mad Max and he's the lead character, you're really more interested in what happens to Furiosa.
Right.
And in this one, she sort of falls into the background too. And it was kind of odd, but I enjoyed it. I didn't like it as much as I thought I would, but I did like it. Which was the same reaction I had for The Fall Guy, which I really wanted to love The Fall Guy, and I didn't love it. I did like it.
Yeah.
And I was kind of puzzled why Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt didn't have as much chemistry as they do on award shows.
Right.
Because they're really funny. They're really funny in that environment, but they were... And a lot of that could be the writing or the directing. I don't know. The movie's directed by David Leitch, Kohler's Pride and Joy. He's a stunt master from Kohler, Wisconsin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He did all the stunts for the John Wick movies, and he's one of the best. And he started directing with that Hobbs and Shaw movie in the Fast and Furious universe.
Okay.
And he made that Brad Pitt movie Bullet Train a couple of years ago. He apparently was Brad Pitt's lead stunt guy for a long time.
Oh, wow.
So he really knows the stunt world, and he spent a lot of time in that. I thought I was happy to see Winston Duke in that movie. I'm happy to see him in anything.
Who did he play?
He's the stunt coordinator in the movie that they're making. And it was pleasant. It wasn't bad. I don't know why you were talking before the break about there aren't big movies this summer. And Variety just had a story today about is Hollywood in trouble for not having all these big weekends? You know, they just had their first one last weekend, probably of the summer, with the new Bad Boys movie. And Inside Out 2 will be a big hit this weekend.
Right.
But a lot of movies are not doing huge in the first weekend, but they're picking up business as they go. You know.
Well, that Sydney Sweeney film, for an example, that stayed in theaters forever.
Great example.
Like, wow. Okay. I guess this has legs, but
And there's been a few others like that this year. I think it'll be better. I mean, it's always sad to me when we're talking about things like box office, because it shouldn't really matter. It's more a function of how long a movie will last in theaters than is why you should care about box office. But everyone thinks that Deadpool versus Wolverine Deadpool and Wolverine will be a big movie in late July.
Right.
I don't really have a feel for how big the Quiet Place prequel is going to be. That's directed by Michael, another Wisconsin guy, Michael Sarnowski. Who wrote and directed, I don't know if you've ever seen the Nicolas Cage movie Pig.
I have not.
I think it's on Hulu. Cage plays a former master chef and who has a couple of tragedies fall on him, and he kind of slips off the grid, and he's some thugs steal his truffle hunting pig. He lives off like he's like the Unabomber in the woods, and he goes back to, he got together to get his pig. But it's really about the love of food and cooking, and it's this amazing movie. And
oh wow, okay.
It's the movie got, I'm pretty sure, is what got Michael Sarnowski the gig to do this prequel. He co-wrote and directed a movie that John Krasinski has been writing these and directing these all along. It's hard to know what that will do. And then there's more kid movies this summer. There's yet another Despicable Me movie, which always do really well. And I just am always happy when there's things I want to see.
Yeah. That is the voice of Chris Foran, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel entertainment reporter. That's really interesting you said that. And I don't know how they know this ahead of time, Chris, but they were predicting. Bad Boys totally took me by surprise. I was not looking for, I thought it's a tired franchise. Nobody likes Will Smith anymore. Right. That shows you what I know. And they're saying that movie will have legs, but they're also saying Inside Out 2 will open in first place. Like they just know. And they've been wrong before, but the kids' movies seem to have staying power too. Garfield and If, and I wouldn't say the box office is dead, but
no, even when things were rougher, kids' movies and horror films did very well. And movies that have been on my gotta watch list for a while. It's a horror filmmaker named T.I. West, who made a movie called X, and then there's a sequel or a prequel called Pearl.
Yeah.
And he's got a new movie coming out called Maxine about a porn star who tries to make it in horror films and set against some serial killer in Los Angeles whose name is escaping me. And it's got a pretty interesting cast. And I will bet it opens the day after 4th of July. The trailer's really intriguing.
Yeah.
But I think audiences are like horror. They will be out for that. And we'll see. I mean, I think, movies have the disadvantage that you have to go see them when they're showing them versus streaming or anything else when you can decide when you watch it. But there's also a big, there's lots of evidence to suggest that audiences, especially younger audiences, will go if they think it's an experience, the whole Barbenheimer thing last year.
Sure.
And I've heard this from some movie theater people that the younger audiences are going to come out to see these old movies and getting a kick out of it. I talked to one of my colleagues at work who's probably 20, 21, and she was gushing about having gone to see Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, which showed one of the theaters in town last night. So,
wow.
And how it was so different as an adult to watch this movie. And it's like, yes, it is. It's a very scary movie. Right. I don't know how that ever got qualified as a kid's movie, but there you go. But
Chris, we have about a minute left. I wanted to get more into Hitchcock with you, but do you have a favorite Hitchcock film?
Boy, that's a hard one. I always have this list in my head of perfect movies, and it really only has two on it most of the time, but there are others. The first two perfect movies for me are both Hitchcock, Rear Window and North Bend Northwest.
Nice.
I can't think of something wrong with either of them. But I'm also a huge fan of one of his earlier British films, The 39 Steps.
Oh, I'll have to check that one out.
And the thing they have in common is there's lots of humor in all of them.
Yeah.
And nobody is better at building up suspense and then deflating it with a little bit of humor.
I could not agree more. And those are my two favorite Hitchcock films as well. And I just watched Rear Window last week, but maybe next time we'll get more into Hitchcock, but we got to run for now.
Like I said, in Milwaukee, they're showing North Bend Northwest right now. In fact,
yeah.
In the Randall Theater, but keep your eyes open because those things come back to theaters and I've seen it in a theater a number of times.
Yeah.
It is. They're always worth catching. If you like Hitchcock, seeing it at theater does change how it is.
Chris, thanks so much for your time. We got to run, and we'll do it again soon, and we'll get more into it. I appreciate your time. Have a great night, buddy. That's Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Always so much fun to talk to Chris. We're coming right back, and we'll read your texts about your favorite 80s movies.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, 3 district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like skee-ball made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of skee-ball?
to show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee-Ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the Skee-Ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Carrie Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
So we got some great texts. And these are more fun to read than last night's "What are the grossest bugs?" was our question. Those are just horrifying. Steve from Florida says, there are so many great movies of the 80s that makes this a very tough question. But I got to say, Back to the Future, Steve, that is a great one. Love Back to the Future. Almost, for what it is, kind of a flawless movie. And with a great soundtrack. Michael J. Fox is great. That's a great one. Robert from McFarland says Jurassic Park. Okay. You know, I like Jurassic Park. I will say this, Robert. I wanted it to be more adult. I wanted more terror. And there was some. And the dinosaurs look great. But I feel like they tried to make it so that the whole family could enjoy it. And that kind of sterilized it a little bit. But, I mean, it was really cool seeing dinosaurs on the big screen like that. And that's a great choice, too. Was that the 80s, though? I gotta go to the Google. Conrad, say something so I can Google.
It is, I already...
Don't say trip.
It's actually a 1993. Yeah,
okay.
93 film.
So the argument is moot. But it's still, you know, we'll do 90s movies one day, too. Thank you, Robert. And a lot more keywords. This is great that people are into the contest. Jim from Appleton says, quite hard to pick just one. The Shining is always good. Yes. The Breakfast Club is a nice growing up movie. I could not agree more. The Shining is, I mean, as far as horror films go, that's almost flawless. You could maybe argue It Takes a While to Get Going, but it's a masterpiece and so creepy. Breakfast Club is great too. From the 414... Oh, this is Jim again from Appleton from the 920. Then there's Beetlejuice and Once Upon a Time in America. Yes, Once Upon a Time in America. I will admit, I've never seen it all the way through. It's like almost a four-hour movie. And it's really good, but every time I've tried to watch it, I've gotten interrupted. So I need to close myself off and watch that movie start to finish. I think it's De Niro, James Woods, and it's about the Jewish mob in New York. And considered a very good mob movie, too. The original Christmas movie, Die Hard. And who can forget Weird Science? Weird Science is great. Love Weird Science. And Die Hard, yeah. I saw Die Hard on the list. I was trying to make a list for my conversation coming up with Mike Siegel in just a few minutes. But I couldn't put Die Hard on there. As much as I like it, it's not my best top five 80s movies. But a fine film. The 608 says Indiana Jones and Back to the Future. Can't go wrong with either one of those. Excellent movies. Carla, Aunt Carla checking. Carla says Porky's. Conrad, your Aunt Carla just picked a movie that like teenage boys flocked to see in 1982 because the trailer just had women in bathing suits. I love Carla's taste in movies. Carla, nice pull on Porky's. I was not expecting that. Where is Aunt Carla these days?
You know? She might be going on a flight soon or back in Baraboo. So
okay. Well, nothing wrong with that. Baraboo is a lovely, lovely city. Bridget from the 818 says 16 Candles. 16 Candles is hard to go wrong with, too. You're not the only person who has suggested 16 Candles. Bridget, that's a great one. And that's a nice story, too, because it's a John Hughes film, but you've got comedy. It's also coming of age. You've got some really sweet moments in the film. And the parents are hilarious. So I might be tempted to put that on my list as well. Everybody, great text. These are phenomenal. So we did today. Swingers was released today. The two 80s films that were released today were Raiders of the Lost Ark and Predator. Neither of them really lend themselves to great audio clips, but the Swingers clips we have are pretty good. We played the Answering Machine one before. Conrad, let's play the... here's another clip from Swingers that we affectionately call 6 Days.
See, baby, it's not that hard.
8-1-8. 3-1-0. So how long do I wait to call?
About a day.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, then a day.
Yeah. So 2 days.
Yeah, I guess you could call it that.
Definitely.
2 days. 2 days is like industry standard. You know, I used to wait 2 days to call anybody, but now it's like everyone in town waits 2 days. So I think 3 days is kind of money. What do you think?
Yeah, well, but 2's enough not to look anxious.
Yeah, 2's enough not to look anxious, but I think 3 days is kind of money.
Yeah,
you know,
but you know what?
Maybe I'll wait 3 weeks. How's that? And tell her I was cleaning out my wallet and I just happened to run into her number.
Then ask her where you met her.
Yeah, I'll ask her where I met her. I don't remember. What does she look like? And then I'll ask if we... Is that, would that be tea? Would that be the money?
You know what? Ha ha ha, Mike. Laugh all you want. But if you call too soon, you might scare off a nice baby who's ready to party.
Well, how long are you guys going to wait to call your babies?
Six days.
See, when you're married, you can't wait 3 days to call your wife back to look cool. Because it will start a big fight. So you can't really do that. Hey, Conrad, how long is the clip we have from Fast Times?
Not that long. We could play it.
Let's play another clip. This is from a great 80s movie, and this is on my top five list that I will share with Mike. This is from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and it's The Rules.
Once we get in the car.
No problem, Red. What you need is my special five-point plan.
Come on, Damone. I need real help here.
What do you mean? Hey, men have died trying to obtain this valuable information, you know. But I'll give it to you for free.
Okay, okay. What's your five-point plan?
All right. Now pay attention. First of all, Rat, you never let on how much you like a girl. Oh, Dabby. All right. Two, you always call the shots. Kiss me. You won't regret it. Now three, act like wherever you are, that's the place to be. Isn't this great? Four, when ordering food, you find out what she wants, then order for the both of you. It's a classy move. Now, the lady will have the linguine and white clam sauce and a Coke with no ice. And five, now this is most important, Rat. It comes down to making out. Whenever possible, put on side one of Led Zeppelin 4.
If you have not seen Fast Times at Ridgemont High, it's a little darker than 16 Candles, but that is one of my favorite high school movies, too. We just heard from Aunt Carla. She is back in Baraboo, but traveling again next weekend. I'm sure she will, and I hope she will still find a way to text the show. Stacy Sue on the stream says, Uncle Buck, love John Candy. Hi, Conrad.
That Uncle Buck is a great one.
Love John Candy in everything. He's so great. That was a loss. When John Candy died... That was a very sad day. And that doesn't happen very often. When a celebrity dies, it's kind of like, I didn't really know him anyway. John Candy was a loss. It was terrible. Tomorrow night on the show, Mike Clemens will be here. We'll be talking sports with Mike. And my friend Michael Alexander will be here. He is a comedian and filmmaker who made a documentary about stand-up comedy called Out of the Loop. Mike will be here for part two of that conversation because I did not book enough time with him last time. So we'll talk about that. Some great comics, too, on his documentary. Coming up next on Nightlight, the very talented, the very funny, Mike Siegel, who is also the host of the Travel Tales podcast. We'll talk 80s movies next with Mike on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A teardrop starts, and it breaks my heart. When a teardrop falls,
you're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Days of rain are making South Florida a soggy mess.
Sheets of torrential rain, flooding roads, stranding vehicles, inundating the Sunshine State. A flash flood emergency north of Miami. The National Weather Service warning of life-threatening conditions. 4 to 6 inches of rain in an hour in spots.
ABC's Victor Akendo in Miami. The Justice Department's indicating it has no plans to prosecute Attorney General Merrick Garland, even though the House voted today to hold him in contempt of Congress. President Biden is in Italy for the G7 summit tomorrow. He's expected to announce a $50 billion loan for Ukraine, funded by the profits of frozen Russian assets. Consumer prices rose 0.2% from April to May. It was the smallest monthly increase since October. The Federal Reserve says it's leaving a key interest rate unchanged for now, but indicates it could cut interest rates later this year. This is ABC News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin DNR issued an air quality advisory for 5 lakeside counties on Wednesday. Milwaukee, Kenosha, Ozaukee, Racine, and Sheboygan counties are under a moderate advisory for sensitive groups from noon until 11 p.m. That means people sensitive to air pollution, like children, the elderly, and those with lung diseases, should avoid prolonged and heavy activity outside. The economy is the number one issue for American voters. Political scientist Susan Webiaki says housing could be the, quote, sleeper issue of the election.
I can't afford the American dream, right? And you're trying to sell that to young folks in America and sell your vision of tomorrow, and you can't afford the American dream.
Political scientist Barry Burden says most swing voters this year are young adults. The two spoke at a WISC Politics luncheon on Tuesday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Are you craving more giant turtles and flying dragons? A Game of Thrones spinoff has been pulled off the scrap heap. Variety reports that 10,000 Ships is back in development. The news comes from George Martin, who created GOT. Martin says the pilot is being written by Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Ebony Booth after the original script was killed by HBO. Finally, there's an animated film for adults. Spermageddon is a Pixar-esque movie about two teenagers having sex for the first time. There's an exclusive clip available at Variety.com. Spermageddon might sound risque, but the filmmakers want teens to see it as it promotes safe sex. The film also has a character named Simon the Sperm. I can't even imagine the research involved for an actor cast as a sperm. The movie is currently in the foreplay stages, also known as pre-production. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight with scattered showers and thunderstorms. Some could be strong with lows in the upper 60s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, some pop-up storms around, and warm with highs in the mid-80s. Beautiful Friday, lots of sun, upper 70s. Right now it's 80.
Meeting you to celebrate our great state.
It's On the Road with Jane and Todd.
We are going to be broadcasting from places where you can come as we're doing both of our shows. Say hi, and I'm so looking forward to having the chance to sit down and talk to folks.
And that's the fun part of it, is just having conversations with real people.
It's Matt and Air on Air and the Todd Alba Show together on the road.
All this week from 10 to 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol, Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Bratfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Earl Ingram.
On the next show, I'll be joined by former Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about the January 6th riot and the work he's been doing for the Biden campaign.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Hey,
broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Welcome, welcome. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night here, broadcasting live statewide from our downtown Green Bay studios here at WGBW. What better time to talk summer movies? And more importantly, with the new documentary coming out by Andrew McCarthy about the Brat Pack, I thought we would talk a little 80s movies tonight, as you know. And joining me to do so is my very good friend and also a product of the 80s, the very funny, the very well-traveled, the very knowledgeable Mike Siegel. Mike, how are you?
How you doing, Pete? How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
You good? Looking good there. You got the bowling shirt. Are you and Charlie Sheen from Two and a Half Men going to roll a few frames? Or what's happening?
You know what? You've been here 20 seconds and I already don't like your attitude, Mike.
Come on. I'm trying to bust your chops out of the gate
are
here.
Are you outside?
I am outside. It's a beautiful Southern California day.
I'm that in the is front fantastic. Yard.
So if you hear a truck drive by or possibly the dog barking at said truck, you'll know what happens.
It could just add to the ambiance. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
This is
you
great.
You look good.
Thank you. You too, buddy. And it's good to have you on the show. I know you're you got a dinner to get to and you're a busy guy. You got a big social calendar and I miss doing those things with you. But
I know I'm going to have dinner with a bunch of guys you know.
I know. And you probably, they're all so funny, you won't get a word in edgewise.
That's true.
And if you do say something funny, they're going to bust your chops. And so that's where it comes from, folks. It's all in good fun.
That's how comedians greet each other.
Exactly.
That's how we show affection.
I love the way you said it, though. It was within 20 seconds. It was right out of the gate.
With 20 like, seconds. I'm
oh, that bowling
it.
Shirt. He's going to hear about it. I love it.
I was in that waiting room a while, Pete.
What? I have to.
Well, I get to see you in silence walking around. So,
I just got here. I could not find parking, Mike. This is like LA parking out here in downtown Green Bay. It's insane.
Wow, so, really? It's that bad?
Yeah, I had to go feed the meter.
Did they ticket you as fiercely as they? Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and you can't. You remember in Chicago, like in the 80s, speaking of the 80s and early 90s, I remember doing that trick where you just put a ticket on your car, hoping the cops would think they already got you. I racked up, and I'm not kidding, probably over $500 worth of parking tickets in the late 80s to early 90s. Nobody ever came after me. And then, you know, it was such a, I don't know if it was just a miss, the traffic department or whatever, it was not well run. No one came after me. So I moved to LA, and I thought, oh, city's this size, they can't afford to go after people. I got one ticket in LA. Within 2 weeks, it had doubled. Within 3 weeks, we will see you in court and take your license.
Right.
I'm like, whoa, okay. And I think it's like that in Chicago now too, but
yeah, I think they farmed it out. Didn't they privatize it or something?
Probably. They privatize everything, Mike. So, where are you? You just traveled. You took another one of your fantastic trips that you go everywhere. Where were you recently?
Well, yesterday I just got back from Alaska. I was performing on a cruise ship up in Alaska. But before that, I was in Japan last month.
Oh, wow.
For fun. That was great. And I recommend it highly to anybody who wants to go. Went to a baseball game there, which you would have loved.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that you say I just went there for fun. Like you have to qualify it somehow. Like there's no
business.
Well,
I mean, you know, cruises, you never know when you know, I was in, I did a ship from Tahiti to Sydney, Australia in December. And that was for work. But then I stayed in Sydney for 2 weeks, stayed the holidays there. So I try to maximize the free flights when I can.
Oh, that's a great plan. You've been everywhere. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah, and you have this great podcast you've talked about before on this show called Travel Tales. Where can people find that, Mike?
It's at traveltalespodcast.com. But if you listen on any of the streaming services, you know, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, we're there. Wherever you get your podcasts, we're there.
Okay. I love it. It's a great, if you guys like to travel, Mike has been almost everywhere, and he has great guests on to talk about where they've been. It's a really cool, well-done podcast. I highly recommend it, so check it out.
We got to get you on to talk Wisconsin, buddy.
Listen, I was in Okano last week, and I...
Whoa.
You're welcome. I promise I won't come across as too much of a big shot or a big mouth if you want to have me on, but I'll talk about all the Wisconsin places I've been. I was in Madison last week.
Oshkosh. Yes. Everything with an O. We'll go to Hayward, and then we'll go
I was
up
in,
to,
I was in Fond du Lac, but I just drove through, but I got a pretty good sense of it. So I'm happy to pontificate, whatever we need.
Well, you're up there in Door County, so it should be summer. This is your season. Have you seen people coming up already?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I love Door County's gorgeous. I love Door County.
Yeah, but, it's really pretty.
It's the, what do they call it? The Cape Cod of the Midwest. And I always have an issue with when you say of something, like I had friends a few years ago that about Milwaukee, it had seen kind of this renaissance. Yeah, people are calling us like the Portland of the Midwest. I'm like, don't say that. Just be the Milwaukee. Just, you don't have to model yourself.
It was like the local junior college by my house in the south side of Chicago. They would call it the Harvard on Halsted Avenue. It's like,
that's what I used to call our kids grade school in LA. It's the pipeline to Harvard. Nobody goes to Harvard. Mike, there's a new film coming out before we jump into our favorite 80s films. And I'm not making this up. It's like a Pixar type animated film called Spermageddon. And
go on.
Conrad, a little mood music, please. it's like animated and it's about two kids doing it for the first time. And then there's like, what was the Woody Allen film where they it was the...
was that Everything You Wanted to Know About Sex?
About Sex, but We're Afraid to Ask, yes.
Yeah.
And they go in, and there's a character called Simon the Sperm. And he's taking his job seriously, and I could not even believe it. So what I'm thinking is, we got to go see that together. Not because there's anything between us, but just to laugh at it. It sounds fun, doesn't it?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make an animated show about anything. I mean, Pixar's doing it, though?
Well, I don't know. I don't think it's a Pixar film, but it's like that type of animation.
It sounds like something I would have watched in health class.
Yeah.
Speaking of high school in the 80s.
I agree. And it's kind of harmless. Like Variety had a minute and a half clip from it. It's not the least bit sexy or trying to be like porn or anything. It's just these two kids awkwardly trying to take their clothes off and they don't know what they're doing. Yeah. And I am so curious about this. And even the producer's like, I can't believe they greenlit this. Like, it's just one of those things.
Who are the stars?
No big stars at the moment.
Okay.
The film is still in foreplay. I mean, pre-production.
Oh, what the?
But hi-yo.
Hello. But if I hear like Tom Hanks is involved, then you know it's legit or something.
Done. Oh, yeah. all right. So I thought of you, Mike. Are you aware of this documentary coming out that Andrew McCarthy is doing about the Brat Pack?
I have heard of this.
Yeah.
And also because I'm kind of on Andrew McCarthy's radar because I've been trying to get him as a guest on the Travel Tales podcast he's written some travel books. That's been that's his deal for the last, 10, 20 years. He's a big traveler and he's written actually a kind of a funny book. And I'm also kind of interesting to hear this story because one of the audio books I've heard when I started with Audible was John Cryer's book.
Oh.
And it's actually a really good read. It's going back to 2.5 Men in Your Shirt. it came out. I don't know why I picked this one. I love like a celebrity bio if they read them themselves. And it's always pretty good. Because actors know how to read. You know, I've listened to some other audiobooks read by the authors, and it's not good. But these guys know where to put the, emphasize things. And it's funny. It's a light book. But he was saying how after Pretty in Pink happened, that he was kind of caught up in that 80s Brat Pack thing. And he's like, no, I was never a part of it.
Really?
I just did this one movie. Yeah. And then he also talks about a year after that, when Pretty in Pink came out, that he just kind of shot himself in the foot. Like every choice he made after that to capitalize on it failed. Like he did Superman 4, which was a really low budget thing. And he's like, I'm in a Superman movie. And they ran out of money and it died and it was horrible. That was supposed to be his big Hollywood movie. And then he did a couple independent films that went nowhere. And all the heat was just gone within a couple of years.
Yeah, I never thought he was a great actor. Like, it's weird because I remember reading something where Judd Nelson said he was contacted about being in the documentary, and he says, yeah, no thanks. I mean, I know the guy, but I haven't heard from him in 30 years.
Yeah.
He wants him to be in the documentary.
Well, you're bringing up names that he brought up because he ended up doing, what's the movie with Carnal Knowledge? a play.
Oh yeah.
They brought it to Broadway. They revived it, but they did it with like Judd Nelson, John Cryer, Justine Bateman, and the woman from Northern Exposure.
Janine Turner.
Yeah. Wow. And he has great stories about that. And, you know, Judd Nelson was out of his mind and all these things. And, you know, he was a Broadway kid. He was a New York theater kid from day one.
Oh, really? Oh, nice.
And he ended up, he was known for, he was like Matthew Broderick's understudy for everything like Brighton Beach Memoirs and Biloxi Blues and stuff. And he was always getting confused with with Matthew Broderick. So then, you know, he got into, he was proud that he got into a movie first, a John Hughes movie before Matthew Broderick. And then, of course, a year later, you know, Ferris Bueller comes out and blows him away.
I'd love to be confused with Matthew Broderick.
Yeah. But, you know, in the 80s movies, you know, we, you and I think are the same age. And so we were like 70s kids and then 80s teens. And
right.
So we were in the John Hughes wheelhouse there. So a lot of my summer movies, I think of those, you know?
Yeah. Are you, do you have, all right, let's do this, Mike. Like I talked about before, just like maybe ranking our 80s movies.
Okay.
So speaking of 80s movies and Andrew McCarthy, and I hope you get him on your podcast because I think he'd probably be a really interesting guest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, talking about travel and stuff and certainly about his documentary. But give me your fifth ranked or however you want to do this. If you just want to list five movies from the 80s that you love, however you want
to
do
it. Yeah, it's hard for me to rank them. But are they all 80s or like all just summer movies that hit me hard?
Let's say 80s. And if you have to venture into another decade, I'm not going to, you know, scold you. That's fine. Okay.
Well, let's get the first decade out of the way. I mean, the movie that I can really remember blowing me away and probably blew you away and everybody our age, men anyway, was Star Wars.
Yeah.
Because I can remember I saw that and we were like nine. I was like 9 and a half or whatever when it came out. And we saw it early enough that I didn't know what it was about.
Right.
You know, in these pre-internet days, I mean, you didn't know the gossip and what, you know, there was no buzz. And I don't think I had seen, well, I mean, I think I'd seen one PG movie before that. And I think that was the year before, which was one of my other favorite 70s movies was Bad News Bears. Because I was totally all about Little League, you know, as a kid. And it was like, I knew everybody, every character on that team. I loved it. They were foul mouthed and like, it hit me hard.
Yeah.
And I thought that was my favorite movie until a year later, and then Star Wars comes out and changes the world. And so, but I remember lining up, where was it? The River Oaks Theater in Calumet City, Indiana. And I think it played there all summer because that was one of the few that had like the Dolby sound.
Okay.
You know, people forget how much Dolby really was a game changer.
Right.
You know, we were used to seeing a movie with like two little crappy speakers in the front of the theater.
Like a and all transistor of a sudden the music, radio.
Yeah, my God. And it's around you and the sound and the lasers. I mean, to a kid, it just blew my mind. So that
all
was
right.
The first big. I was too young for Jaws when it came out. My dad wouldn't let me see it.
So let me reiterate. I'm going for 80s movies here, Mike. You mentioned Star Wars. And Bad News Bears, both in the 70s.
I know.
That's fair.
I wanted to get that out of the way.
All right. I wasn't thinking, maybe you weren't thinking, understanding the concept.
I understood the thing. I prefaced it. But those were the two that really
summer blockbusters.
Changed me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Then, yeah. And then the 80s came. And I remember seeing, I don't know if it was summer, though, but I do remember seeing The Road Warrior.
I knew you were going to say that.
I loved that movie. And because I never saw Mad Max. You know, around the world, it was called Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior.
Yeah.
But Mad Max was really a small art house film in America. It didn't really make much money. So they just called it The Road Warrior. And I didn't know what to expect. And I just thought it was the coolest thing I had seen in a long time.
So we've got one of Mike's top five. And you know what? That would make honorable mention on my list, too. And I like that better than Mad Max because when I was a kid, I was like 12 years old when Mad Max came out or 10 or whatever. I didn't like that they killed his family. It was really hard to watch.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I was like, oh, my God. Like, you understand his anger, but The Road Warrior was just like everything had hit the fan and it was every man for himself. And that was really cool. All right. I'm talking with Mike Siegel. Check out his podcast called Travel Tales. It's really cool. We're going to find out Mike's other top four summer movies or just 80s movies. Let's do that. Top four 80s movies. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Coming back. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
Bob Neal and Edgar Hellam fell in love in the 1930s. But they also fell in love with Mineral Point, Wisconsin, where they worked together to rescue and restore buildings set to be demolished. The gay couple gave Cornish language names to those properties. The best known may be Pendarvis, a piece of history from the mid-1800s when Mineral Point was a lead mining town. Their success during the Great Depression is considered the start of what's turned the area into an art and tourism hub. It's a story of love and preservation, and you can still experience it today thanks to Bob and Edgar. I'm Terry Barr.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Mike Siegel says The Road Warrior, starring Mel Gibson, is one of his top five 80s movies. I would put that in my honorable mention. I'll give my fifth, Mike. Okay. I would say maybe Manhunter from 1986.
Wow.
William Peterson and Dennis Farina. One of those films that has stayed with me. It's definitely top five. I'll just say that. I have like seven movies I wrote down. So I got some honorable mentions myself.
Okay.
But all right, give me your next one.
I wanted to keep up with the bit and just start naming films from every other decade except the 80s.
The Spy Who Loved Me.
Gone with the Wind.
That would be funny.
Yeah. And
you're kind of already like doing that, though.
Right. Well, like I mentioned before, we were heavy into the John Hughes wheelhouse because that was our high school years. So the first one I saw of his was 16 Candles. And I thought that was it, man. I just thought it was hilarious. And it just wrapped up high school, you know, in a nutshell.
That's great.
And so I loved that movie. And, you know, some of the jokes don't age well in it if you watch it now.
They cut the scene where the older guy is on the phone and they can't find the guy in the plaid suit. I think it's Donger, I think was his name.
Oh, and, Long Duck Dong.
Yeah. And he said he's wearing a red suit and shoes. And he says, huh? No, he's not. And then they use the R word and they don't play that anymore. And I almost fell out of my chair when I saw that the first time. It was so funny.
Well, there's a couple other lines that I don't think I can bring them up here on the radio, but one kills me every time that when they find him, they're backing up for the church and they see Long Duck Dong lying on the, grass and all you hear is the voiceover. Hey, Phil, there's your seaman. They stop the car. They run out.
That's funny.
But you know, he sleeps with a girl who's drunk in the back. You know,
it's terrible. Good. I know. And there's some of the stuff I'm totally fine with them not celebrating. But like I don't know.
But the performance is in it. And who's the kid who plays the blonde haired kid? Why am I
Michael Hall.
Hilarious.
Very funny.
If you really watch it, he's hysterical in that movie.
Him in that film and his Rusty Griswold, he's great. He's a really good actor. I don't know what, you know, and he probably never lost that. He just, his look changed and people didn't want to cast him and whatever. It's just what happens. But I'm going to stay in the high school world and I'll say Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
That was on my list too. I think I saw that as I was about to enter high school and I said, is this what it's like? If so, I can't wait.
And honestly, like, I love Spicoli, but I think Damone might be my favorite character. Like,
awesome.
Can
you name his five rules?
Oh, I could if I wasn't on the spot on the air, but like, and the last one is the Led Zeppelin. No, the first one is wherever you are, that's the place to be.
That's the place to be.
Isn't this great?
And then there's one you order for the both of you. It's a classic move. You know, there's that one. You know, tell him, be demanding. Tell him what you want. Kiss me. You won't regret it. And he kisses the Debbie Harry thing. Well, that's people great. Forget. It's like before Valley Girl and that movie, people didn't talk like that around the country. We were from the Midwest. Girls didn't say like every other,
right?
Every other word and things like that. It really changed like vernacular.
Yeah, no kidding.
And now they still talk like that. Kids from everywhere, you know, you could be from Montana and you talk like a Valley Girl. It's
isn't
weird.
That crazy? And you're right. They were so far ahead out there, out West, like with the like and the, cause it's in the Midwest. You still hear that all the time. And I know you do out there too. But it's like, it didn't catch on here until like Valley Girl or
dude.
Yeah. I don't know.
No one said dude in the Midwest.
Right.
Like my babysitter and her friends didn't say dude and like, and I'm all about, and you know, it just didn't talk like that. And then they did. And then they would never shut up.
Your babysitter sounds like a real pistol. I was going to put Miller's Crossing in my list, Mike, but it was 1990. So I missed out on that one. I broke my own rule, but I will say,
you know, that fun summer movie, light summer movie, Miller's Crossing.
Well, they don't have to be comedies. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, one of the ones in my list is Mississippi Burning. Loved it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So there's three of my top five. You've got Fast Times, 16 Candles, and Road Warrior. You need two more.
Well, I'm going to go another one that I say every line to, and it's just touching the 80s, and that's 1980s Caddyshack.
Oh, love it.
Every line I could recite.
I know. That's so great.
And there's certain roles where, like, I can only think of a handful of movies where a comedy star just broke out.
Yeah.
Went from like zero to a million in one movie. And Rodney Dangerfield was that guy in that one. You know, you walk out and it's like, who was that guy?
Well, you buy a hat like this, I bet you get a free bowl of soup. Oh, it looks good on you, though.
Hey, Wang, that's a parking lot.
All right. I'll say also another one of mine. This is not a comedy again. To Live and Die in L.A.
Oh, I would. You know, that's a good one. That's a really good one.
And it totally holds up. I saw it probably within the last 4 or 5 months. It's just great.
Boy, your list is very Billy Peterson heavy.
It is. Two of my top five. And we just had Joel Murray on the show last night, and William Peterson's name came up because of the Remains Theater. So he's fresh in my head, in my defense. But, yeah, I love those movies. But I'll join you with Caddyshack, too. That would round out my top five. So.
Oh, sure.
You got one more?
I'll do one last comedy.
Okay.
Which I loved, which was Fletch.
Yes.
Still Chevy Chase's best work.
Absolutely.
Still to this day.
I could not agree. You know, although, did you see like Seems Like Old Times and Foul Play?
Yes.
I don't.
One of them, was it Foul Play that made me want to live on a houseboat? Was that he lived in a houseboat in like San Francisco Bay?
Oh, you might
it's
be
one
right.
of those.
I forgot about that. But yeah, it seems
I
like
that
Old
was
Times.
The coolest thing. Wait.
Yeah, it seems like Old Times was Charles Grodin was the governor or running for governor or something like that. And Aurora made her chicken pepperoni and she couldn't make it one day because she had to get her feet scraped. Mention that to Schmitty. He'll crack up.
Get his feet scraped.
Yeah, Aurora had to get her feet scraped so she couldn't make her chicken pepperoni. Mike, this was fun. How about next week we do TV? Are you up for that?
Sure. Why not?
All right. Fantastic. Tell all the fellows I said hello. And
I will.
Have a wonderful evening, buddy. Miss you, too. We'll do it again next week. We'll do TV. Have a great night, Mike.
All right, great.
Okay, thanks, buddy. That is Mike Siegel. I would like to thank Chris Foran for joining me on the show as well tonight and all your texts and participation as per usual. Conrad, did you have fun?
Of course. I always have fun.
How are we doing on time? Are we out?
Oh, we're out.
Oh, totally out?
No.
God, don't scare me
like that. We got 30 seconds.
All right, Mike Clemens will be on the show tomorrow as well as Michael Alexander. So great to spend time with you guys. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow night with more Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Matt Rothschild will be taking over the mic. He's covering day 9 of Joe Biden's top 100 topic, school vouchers.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.